most people's initial reaction when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Wednesday night is to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief, because it's the shortest possible slichas you can have. It's only 3 days of regular slichas. I have Rosh Hashanah, okay, do it. Rosh Hashanah is always long. It says Rosh Hashanah is always 10 days, so there's no way to slice that. So the difference between the long years and the short years ultimately always revolves around what day of the week Rosh Hashanah is. So last year, Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos, about a middle-sized slichas. Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Tuesday, then it's the super-duper long slichas, so you have to get the week before. This year is the possible shortest possible slichas. So rather than breathing a sigh of relief, it just makes us work harder. I'll tell you why it makes us work harder. I remember hearing this from Rav Shiva and Kerbi Adam from Govich Zatzal many years ago. He said that in Shemayim, so each and every day, each and every makom, each and zman, has to create a certain amount of ruchnias, a certain amount of Torah, a certain amount of avodas, and your Shemayim, chesed. So he said, it's a nigzer in Shemayim, there's a certain quota, like Paro gave to Klai, maskolas alaveilim, a certain amount of bricks have to be produced. So he used to say, Kerem B'yavne, Yeshiva's Kerem B'yavne has to produce X amount of Torah every single day. You think in Shemayim there's a difference, whether it's a Friday, whether it's a Tuesday. He said, on Friday we also have to produce X amount of Torah. So, on a Tuesday, Baruch Hashem, you have 400 Bachram sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash. On a Friday, 4 or 5 Bachram, whatever it is, Maisilaz and Yeshiva, you have sometimes significantly less amount of Bachram. So those less amount of Bachram have to make up, in terms of quality, what's missing in terms of quantity. So they have to work extra hard, they have to be extra Marbitz Torah, in order to make up for what otherwise is expected in Shemayim. So Mestama, that lesson is the same as true when it comes to Zman as well. So each and every one of us, Klal Yisrael as a whole, has a certain avoid that has to get done during the days of Slichas. We can't just run into Rosh Hashanah. We can't just, here we are, Baruch Abu, Shalom Aleichem, we're ready for Rosh Hashanah. There's a certain achon that has to take place before Rosh Hashanah. And the days, our Chachamim throughout the generations have instituted for us this Minhag Yisrael, age-old Minhag Yisrael, of reciting Slichas as a form of preparation, as achonah for the Yom Neroim. So we have to reach the same amount of achonah whether Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday or a Shabbos or on a Thursday. The only problem is, we have less time to do it. So it just means more intense. It means that whatever normally we have 10 days to work on, we now have 3 days. Tachas. Every Rosh Hashanah is going to be in 3 days from now. So we have 3+, couple of hours, to get ourselves into the mind, into the spirit, to get ourselves ready, and Hashem is ready, the Kras Yemadin. So it behooves us to ask the most basic, fundamental question, what are we supposed to be doing? How does a person go about preparing for Rosh Hashanah? What should be going through our minds? And particularly as the days of Slichas are upon us, as we be the Hachana, it's the Hachana for the Hachana. So what should we be thinking about as we're entering into the period, into the mindset of Slichas? So where does this Minhag Yisrael come from? That we play around with the day of Slichos, that Slichos starts, has to be a minimum of 4 days before the Slichos for Rosh Hashanah, and if you don't have 4 days, then you have to start the Slichos a week before. We have this magic number of 4 days, you have to have a minimum days of 4 days of Slichos before Rosh Hashanah. So I think this is the Yesoda Yisrael does. This minimum, this halacha, this niyug of Klal Yisrael of a minimum of 4 days, this really puts us into the proper mindset of Slichos. Where did the magic number 4 come from? From the first, you say, it came from the following. The Torah tells us in Parshas Pinchas, in describing the Karbonos Hayom of Rosh Hashanah, the Torah uses a very, very strange phrase, a phrase that is unheard of in the context of Karbonos. Va'asisem oila. You should make for yourselves a Karbon oila. Why is that such a strange phrase? Because the usual phrase is, v'kraftam oila, you bring an offering, you bring a korban oila, you bring a korban musaf, on each of the Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Shabbos, you bring a korban, and Rosh Hashanah, the Torah says, v'asisam oila, come to Mefarshim and tell us, v'asisam oila teaches us that we have to make ourselves a korban oila in Rosh Hashanah. We have to be makriv ourselves as a korban to Ribbono Shel Olam, and as such, there's a halacha, when you bring a korban to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you bring a korban tamid to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can't just stop bringing a korban. The korban has to be free of any blemish, free of any mum. If a person offers a bal mum to the Mizbeach, not only is the korban not kosher, but he's over nisadir aisa, there's nisadir aisa for maktish and for maktir and mash and shaykhet. We're not learning the sugars in Bukharis right now, but it's clearly not an acceptable form of a korban. And as such, the Torah tells us, it's not enough just to come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a korban. You have to check the korban beforehand. You have to inspect the korban, a visual inspection. Very, very careful, head to toe, a full body scan. I don't know if they started the airports or not, but the Beis HaMikdash had a full body scan under each and every carbon to make sure that it wasn't a balmum. And the Gemara derives that from Tzukim, that scan, that searching, that inspecting, that examining, cannot be done just once. It has to be repeated a second time, a third time, and a fourth time. 4 days of Bikur Mumim, Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Korban Pesach, V'ayolachem the Mishmeres, Arabos, Ayayim, Mechidish Hazeh, they would take the Korban Pesach on the 10th day, and they would be mevakeret for Mumim for 4 days. Only after a 4 day physical inspection and again, and a re-examination, take the test over again and over again, check the films again. 4 days of it clear as a Mumim, then you can offer it as a Korban on the Mizbech. And as such, the Farshim tell us, the Poskim tell us in Shulchan Aruch, that if Rosh Hashanah is a time of Asiyas Oila, Rosh Hashanah is a time of bringing ourselves as Karbonos, we cannot dare bring ourselves as a Balmum, and we cannot just wake up every Rosh Hashanah with some long sleeves and say, okay, time to do some checking, examining. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not enough to start the checking of the moon before Tkiya Shaifa. Now it's time to be now. Nothing doing. It requires a Bikur Mimumin. There are 4 days in advance, a minimum for the Bokhla, Babariz, and Meshubach. But each and every Jew requires 4 days of checking and examining before Rosh Hashanah. This is Bikur Mimumin, that's what the Mestichas are all about. So we only have 4 days this year before we get to the Yom HaDin. But the 4 days have to be a quantitative 4 days. And the focus of the next 4 days is Bikur Mimumin. It's checking out Mumin. What Mumin do we have? What movement can we remove? How can we make ourselves as a kosher carbon? So the only way to know how to do Bikur Mumin, take a step back, learn a little bit of Masechet Becharis, no choice. We have to learn a little bit about different movement. What movement are we looking for? We're modeling ourselves after the movement of the Beis HaMikdash, so we need a little bit of a Hakdam, a little bit of a Shir Klali, to understand what a movement is all about, what different types of movement. We're not going to learn the whole sugyas right now, but just enough to extract enough for our purposes to see what it really means for us. So there are fundamentally two types of mumin in halacha. An animal could be have two different types of blemishes. There's what's called the mum over, and there's what's called the mum kavua. A mum over means temporary. Temporary problem. The animal got scratched. The animal got a blister. Got a this that. It's a mum over. Here today, gone tomorrow. That's a mum. What's a mum kavua? Mum kavua means it's here today. It's not going away. The animal, I've used that phrase for the animal. The animal's missing a leg. It's not that a new leg's going to grow back. It's gone. Finished. It's not going to grow back. It's never going to be fixed. That's a mum kavua. There's a mum oiver and there's a mum kavua. And there are differences in halacha between a mum oiver and a mum kavua. Obviously, a mum oiver is not so bad. By its very definition, it's going to disappear. So right now, Taka, you can't bring it as a carbon, but you wait a little bit, the mum will go away. There's a mum oiver and a mum kavua. What is the difference in the types of movement that we're speaking about? We're not talking about physical body blemishes. We're talking about spiritual movement. We're talking about problems. We're talking about issues that come up in our neshamas, that come up in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are also two different types of movement. There are the temporary movement, and there are the more permanent movement. One of the great chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is the period of Rosh Hashanah, Seres HaBetshuva, and Yom HaKippurim, to cut down on mumim kavuim, to enable us to be mesakein year in and year out those mumim that develop, those issues that develop in our neshamas during the course of the year, those problems, those deficiencies in our spirituality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance that those which start out as mumim overim don't end up over time, over years of decay, becoming mumim kavuim. Marshal Badavidoma, you pick the field that you want to discuss. You're interested in, you're a cardiologist, you'll appreciate the marshal of the cholesterol that starts to develop, the arteries. No, eat one bag of potato chips, one hot dog, one hamburger, the cholesterol's not going to go sky high. Get a mashu, tipa minayam. There's another one. A few more years of no exercise, a few more years of not watching, and lo and behold, Khalila v'chalila, we know after many, many years, what started out as a seemingly indiscernible problem, boom, now the artery's clogged. Now we have a real serious problem. You're more prone towards the dental profession, we have your dentist in the audience, so, you don't brush your teeth one time, the tooth's not going to fall out. You don't floss one time, No. But time and time and time and time again. And then you're sitting there and some dentist is drilling you and giving you a speech about what are you doing here in the first place. I'm Avin Yovin. The same is true in the realm of Ruchnius. Problems develop. Chatoim develop. We start to get a little careless. We start to neglect ourselves. We start to neglect our neshamas. And things start to collect. Comes the Rebbein Shalom B'chastei HaGodol and gives us a period of Rosh Hashanah and Esrei Mitzvah and Yom Kippurim. Just listen to the words of the bracha that we conclude the Shemoneh Esrei of Yom Kippurim with. Melech Moichel V'Saleach L'Avinaseinu V'Avonis Amo Beis Yisrael. The Rebbein Shalom who forgives our chatoim. If I was writing the bracha, I would have ended the bracha right there. Melech Moichel V'Saleach L'Avinaseinu V'Avonis Beis Yisrael Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Kippurim. But what we threw in another, there's another phrase that's inserted. What's the additional phrase? Ma'avir ashmeseinu b'chol shana v'shana. We make a point of saying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu not only is the meichel v'saleach, but that he cleans the slate year in and year out. He gives us, and again, I'm not holding in the cardiology, I'm not holding the dental work. Imagine, person clown comes once a year for cleaning of the arteries. Once a year, okay, teeth, I can understand. Once a year comes for the cleaning. Once a year, something happens to prevent the years and years of decay and years of clogged arteries to build upon themselves. That's the godless of the spirit of the year. It's the ma'avir ashpiseinu b'chol shana v'shana. Is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity that temporary problems don't become so powerful, don't become so overwhelming that they, in a sense, become permanent problems. That's the ma'avir ashpiseinu b'chol shana v'shana. Where did that phrase of Ma'avir Ashpaseinu B'chol Shana V'Shana, where is it rooted in? Where did Chazal pick up that phrase from? It's the same phrase that we say in the Slichos, Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Say Chazal, we have a Messiah that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us, and B'chayzi B'tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. He removes chait by chait. He removes one at a time. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I'm going to do the greatest taiva for you. I'm going to prevent those otherwise small, minor infractions, those temporary problems, from becoming too overwhelming. A little bit of decay can be removed. A little bit of clogged arteries can be dealt with. But when it becomes kavua, when it becomes something that can no longer be removed, then chalila v'chalila, that's when the emergency kicks in. And that's the godless of the Yom Kippurim. It's the godless of Yom Kippurim. It's not just a time of slicha mechila, but it's time of ma'avi ashpiseinu b'chol shana v'shana. That's first and foremost a mum kavua and a mum oiver. So look at a mumim. Look at the issues. Everyone has. Each person, b'ashe usham, has things that they have to work on. But have in mind, focus, that the whatever problems they are, use this period, use the next 4 days, use the next week and a half, use the next 2 weeks, use the Matzah Yom Kippur, in your own mind, to be chayzeh b'tshuva, ma'avir ashpaseinu b'chol shana v'shana, lest we pass over this period, this kind of goes by us, and we don't get that cleaning. We don't clear out the zaderis, we don't clear out that decay, and lest last year's averas lead into next year's, into the following year's, becomes an endless cycle. First and foremost, ma'avir ashpaseinu b'chol shana v'shana. Turn the mumin, rather than being mum kavuim, at least touch into mum oiver. But even within mumin, yesh v'yesh, there are further different types of mumin. There are some mumin that the aver is fundamentally intact, means that part of the body is there, the arm's here, but it's a finger's broken. My leg's here, so I've got a big giant a boil, a big a blister or something. The aver's there, but there's a problem in the aver. You can deal with it, okay. It's a mum, it's possible, akrava. It's got to be cleaned up. Don't make light of it. It's got to be fixed. But the aver fundamentally is still functioning. And then you run into a very, very different type of a mum. And that's what Chazal referred to as called mechuser aver. Mechuser aver means the entire aver is shut down. That entire limb, that part of the human being, that part of the animal, case of real movement in Karbonos, it's b'chol not functioning anymore. Not that it's basically there, but it's got a problem. It's b'chol not there. Comes the halach and tells us, a mechuser aver not only applies if it's physically not there. The Gemara says, what if you have? You have a bird, and the bird is missing a wing. It can be missing a wing either because somebody literally chopped the wing off, but could be missing a wing because the wing is so dried up, it can't flap anymore. It can't move anymore.
says the Rashi from Maseches Kedushin, Kala Yovish Kamanda Leisa Domi. If it's so dried out, if it's so worn out, if it's so worthless, it's so not functioning, as if it's not there, you might as well just cut it off. A Mechusar Eiver is a significantly more chomer type of a mum. Those who remember Maseches Bechoros, Maseches Chulin, Mechusar Eiver apostles in an oath, and Mechusar Eiver apostles even a Goy's carbon, they're a dinim that reflect this notion of Mechusar Eiver. And Mechusar Eiver is a type of a mum that we have to look at as well. Sometimes our chatoim are tangential to our existence. Sometimes, you know, things are pretty good, pretty much okay. We look at the Eivarim, Eivari HaAdam, some of the Mechaber of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Smak, divided up the Mitzvahs of Torah according to the Eivari HaAdam. The Mitzvahs that a person performs with one's hands, and the Mitzvahs a person performs with one's feet, the Mitzvahs a person performs with one's heart, that which a person performs with one's eyes, with one's mouth. Different Eivarim have different Mitzvahs and different Aveiros to be nizer from. So sometimes, we have a situation, I ask myself, how's my mouth doing? How's my mouth doing in terms of Hilchus movement? How's my mouth doing? So, maybe certain movement, maybe certain problem. The mouth, for the most part, is functioning okay. If they're all, Baruch Hashem, I'm using my mouth most of the day to learn, and I'm using my mouth to daven, and I'm using my mouth to help people out, and do chesed, to make people feel good. Baruch Hashem, my mouth is fundamentally a functioning organ in terms of Ruchnias. It's got a little cut over here, a little Lashon Hara over here. Maybe a little bit inappropriate nivul peh, maybe once in a while over here. Maybe one of my teeth is a little bit not lined up. I have a few problems, but Baruch Hashem, pretty much I'm okay. 95% of my mouth, I can't say my mouth is not functioning anymore. It's a mum, and you gotta clean up that little Lashon Hara, and clean up the nivul peh, and clean up the... It's true, that's true. But Baruch Hashem, the mouth is there. And then, sometimes you can have a situation where, you know, keep the marshal, you have to transplant your mouth, you need a new mouth. The whole thing has to be revamped. It's not pshat that the mouth is basically fundamentally kosher, but there are problems. It's kemandalei sadami. A spiritual mouth doesn't exist. A mouth is so mole v'godosh with lashon hara, with pritzos, with nivul peh, with things that are just bechlal, steerous to everything of kedusha. It doesn't exist anymore. And Kohena v'Kohena, those who want to look, take a look at the Tefillah Zaka. Mishashti is called Eivorai, v'matzasi b'hem klum. The person can go through his eyes, and through his mouth, and through his hands, and through his feet. What is he doing with his hands? What is he doing with his feet? What is he doing with his eyes? So sometimes, the Bikur of Mumin means, gotta touch up a little bit. If we don't make light of the touching up is important, because if you don't do the touch up job, you don't change the oil, you don't change it every 3 months, nothing's going to happen. You don't change it every 3 years, your car's going to blow up. So we shouldn't make light of the Bikur Mumin, but sometimes the problem is much more fundamental. Sometimes the problem is, sometimes, you know, the yeshiva shakars change the oil from today to tomorrow. It's going to have the clearest, highest quality oil. The mice, you need a new engine. Bottom line, you can, I remember years ago I had a car where I used to have to keep in the trunk a thing of transmission oil. Because every few miles, you had to refill it. Eventually, the mechanic said, listen, Rabbi, forget the transmission, you need a new transmission. The same you say. Sometimes it's enough just to fix up a little bit, make tikkunim, make little small spot checks, and sometimes you need a complete overhaul. Sometimes you have to get a new transmission. Sometimes you have to get a new mouth. I don't mean literally, but I mean halachically. It means in musar, in terms of hashkafa, you have to mamash, revamp and rethink that the whole picture's wrong. Mitchila v'yatzai, if the picture's wrong. That's a different type of bikur mumin, a much more serious bikur. But there's an even more serious and more powerful bikur mumin that sometimes plagues us. Those who learn daf yomi will appreciate, I think it's tomorrow's daf, the next day's daf. But the Gemara comments that in the parasha of mumin, the Torah says, Ki mash chasom bahem mumbam. The Torah uses the phrase of mum, and the Torah uses the phrase of hashchasa. What does hashchasa mean? So Chazal say, hashchasa? Hashchasa means two things. As it says in Parshas Vaschanan, Pentash Chisun, Hashchosa is a lashon of Averizara, and Hashchosa is a lashon of Giliarayas, inappropriate activity in that realm. Back to Parshas Noach, Ki Hishchis Kobosas Daka Me'alaretz. From here, Chazal say this is one of the Mekairos for the Din. It was actually tomorrow's Daf Yomi, this part.
if an animal was engaged in any one of these two aveiras, an animal was used as part of an aveira zara, an animal was bowed down to, an animal was designated as aveira zara, or if an animal was involved in the aveira of Gili Arayas, Ay Mishka Behema, that animal can never be brought as a carbon. That's the ultimate mum. The worst mum possible is aveira zara and Gili Arayas. Kimash Chasam Behem Mum Bam. It's not a mum over, it's a mum kavua, and it passes Liol and Vod, the animal Megabi Amizbech. Why is that? My hide these two mumin, my nishtana these two mumin. So it appears that these mumin are not just mumin in the externals. Usually mumin refers to things, external parts of the animal. There's a halacha called an Avesh and a Shamat Luyavai. Little veterinarian medicine today. There's certain Avarim. The animal can't survive without. And for that matter, a human being can't survive without as well. An Avesh and a Shamat Luyavai. A mistake, a problem, a deficiency in an Avesh and a Shamat Luyabo is so fundamental, it's so radical that, yeah, for all practical purposes, the animal is no longer alive. A person could live with a mum in a lip. A person could even live with a mechusar Aver if he's missing Chalila in arm or a leg. He can also live. But there are certain things that a person can't live with or can't live without. A person cannot live without a head, without a brain. Person cannot live without a heart, a few other evarim also. We're only going to focus on those two. A person whose brain is not there, or chalila v'chalila is not functioning, a person whose heart is not there, chalila v'chalila is not functioning, the person doesn't exist anymore. That's the ultimate mum. It's not a mum oiver, it's a mum kavua, it's not a mum kavua, it's a it's a mechusar aver, and it's worse than a mechusar aver. It's a mechusar aver of avish and a shamat liyabai. A person's mind, a person's brain, a person's thoughts, and a person's heart. And again, we're not talking about from the biological point of view, about emotions being in the brain. We're talking about the Lashon HaTorah, the lev is the emotions, the lev is the makom of Ahava, the place of love. The head is the rational, the lev is the emotional. These are the two evarim that symbolize, these are the two parts of a person's makeup that are symbolized by the mayach and the lev. If there's a chisaron, if there's a mum in the mayach, there's a mum in the lev, it's not pshat you're a bal mum, and we'll clean it up, come back tomorrow and you'll be okay. Not pshat, we'll touch it up, and it'll be fine. No, a lev, if there's a problem in the heart, so the entire entity doesn't function. If the brain's not functioning properly, chalila v'chalila, the whole thing dies. Those are the two mumin that Chazal is referring to. When there's a mum in a person's heart, in the expression of love, ahava, when ahava, the most powerful human emotion that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us to use in the proper fashion, ahava supposed to be used in ahavas Hashem, and ahava supposed to be used in ahavas binanam l'chaveray, and ahava supposed to be used in ahavas ish l'ishtay, and a person takes quote-unquote love and misuses it, and abuses it, and does all kind of things in the name of love, quote unquote, that's not a cut in the lip. That's not a missing arm. That's a chisaron of the Avesh and the Shamat Liyabo. That's hishchis kabosar as darkam el haaretz. When the chisaron is in that area, the lay of the heart is missing. And the mum in the brain, how a person thinks, what a person's hashkofas are, what a person's amunas are, when there's a chisaron of avarizara is the ultimate chisaron, that a person is so crumped that he came to this realization that he thinks somebody else, chalila v'chalila, is a god. Or, b'zman hazeh, baruch Hashem, you know, we think we're all proud of ourselves because we live post the time of Anshe Knesset HaGedoyla. Anshe Knesset HaGedoyla did away with the type of the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. So for us, Avodah Zarah, it's a joke. It's a litzanus. What do you mean Avodah Zarah? What Meshugan is going to worship Avodah Zarah? I just had this conversation with Mayakov today. We're doing a little bit of Pashas Nitzavim. So the Torah says, be careful. Kesef is over, Shei Moem. You may see sticks and stones and gold and silver, and don't fall prey to them. So Meryakov turns to Malik, only a Tzimimus, a 12-year-old, could say, he says, Abba, why does the Torah even bother to tell us
What crazy nutcase would bow down to sticks and stones and gold and silver? That was his question to me. So I said, Baruch Hashem, you live post Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. Pre Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, you wouldn't have asked that question. So for us, what does Avodah Zarah mean? Avodah Zarah for us means Kfira. Avodah Zarah for us means Apikorsis. Avodah Zarah means lack of Amuna. That's the modern days of Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah of a person's machshavas are so far krumt that he has developed such krum understandings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Terasai and things of that nature. That's the Avodah Zarah of today. Whether, I'm not saying it's the literal Avodah Zarah, skila, we're not learning the sugyas of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Some people are, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it's the chait of a person's machshava. That's the root of that's the chait of Avodah Zarah. And as such, a person who has that chait to deal with, that's an Eivish and Shem Shmigabai. Ki mash chasam behem bum bam, that's a chisan in the mayach, a chisan in the mayach, and a chisan in the lave. We throw our hands up. That's the worst possible mum that can exist. So there are darkness, there are degrees in terms of mumin. It's a shas biku mumin. It's a time to work on mumin. So all we've done in the last half hour is identify the problems. I don't have any solutions yet. We don't even have that much time to find solutions. But we know what the problems are. Each person in their own has to look like a careful din v'cheshbon and look, are there mum oivers that we have to work on? Are there mum kavuas? Some things that maybe we should have fixed up last year, the year before, that have developed over time, that are a little bit more serious, a little bit more permanent parts of our existence. We have to work on those. We have the mum ovis to work on, the mum kavuas to work on. We have the chisar and avers, the chisar avers to work on. And we may even have to touch a little bit on the evarim shen sham kluyabam, the mashchasam emum bam, maybe little drops, maybe mashos in that area also. So we have different levels, different degrees in terms of bikur mumin. The days that Chazal designated for us, that the Minhag Yisrael is designated for us, to be days of bikur mumin, getting ready. We want to be able to bring that Rosh Hashanah, the Oil and Rosh Hashanah and Oil and Tamima. We don't want these things to be in our way. So we have a work cut out for us. So how do you look? How do you go about looking for mumin? What degree, how serious does the bedika have to be? Bedika, the check, you have to look. So we're familiar with at least two different areas of halacha that require bedika. There are two different dinim of bedika in the halacha, and each one of us, each one of them, has something to say to us about how we go about looking for mumin. So it's fascinating. It means something different, obviously, in a physical sense. But the same term appears in two areas of halacha that seems to, at first glance, have mamash nothing to do with each other. One is, of course, bedikas chametz. You know, we jump the gun a little bit. Bedikas chametz. There's a din of bedika. Those who come to the Sunday morning shiurim. Bedikas. A woman does bedikas during Shibbat Akiyam. It's also called a bedika. Same term. Obviously, a different, very, very different meaning. But it's also called a bedika. In halacha, it's called a bedika. And believe it or not, we find the same term, the precisely same term, again, obviously different physical connotations, in describing the degree, the intensity of the bedika that's supposed to take place in both areas. Chazal used the phrase, bedikas chayrin ustakin. That's the phrase that Chazal used, both in bedikas chametz and bedikas shivnikim. What's a chayrin ustakin? Usually in English translated nooks and crannies. Holes and cracks. Bedikas chayrin ustakin means bedikas chametz. Some people perhaps do a superficial, can call it bedika, do a something chametz, walking around collecting bread. It's beautiful. It's exciting for the kids. But that's not bedikas chayrin ustakin. Post-communicals need to describe a woman takes a very superficial, external look. That's not bedikas chayrin ustakin either. Bedikas chayrin ustakin means that we're looking with intensity, we're looking with care, we're looking with the realization that chametz for Pesach also b'mashu. We're looking with the understanding that tipas dam kechardo. We're looking with the understanding, with the realization that even something which appears to be very small can have significance in the world of ruchnius.
beyond our limited understanding. And yes, Bedikas Chayin Stokin is the degree and the intensity that requires of us during these days of Bikur, or these days of Bedika. These are also days of Bedika. And these are days not for Bedika externally. These are not days just to walk around and collect the 10 pieces of bread and call it a day. These are days for introspection. These are days to look and look hard and to see what can I correct in myself. What can I change? What can I work on? And if I can't totally change it, if I can't totally write, what can I at least make a mum kavu into a mum oiver? Which evarim, which parts of my existence need a little bit of tikkunim, which need total repair? Have I had any movement? Have they touched the evarim apnimiim? Have they reached the lave? Have they reached the moach? Or at least the evarim shanashem tluyabo intact? These are hard questions. Nobody said there's going to be easy answers. No one's expecting a joyride for 45 minutes before Slichas. That's for sure now. Jokes, you're pretty sure you weren't going to get. Bedikah is kind of stuck in. This is what's required of us. This is the standard of Bedikah that's necessary these days. But it's more than that. Go back to the mashal of Bedikah's Chametz. Bedikah's Chametz. Come Chazal and say in Maseches Pesachim, some of you are learning Maseches Pesachim, the yeshiva is learning Pesachim, some people are learning along with us Maseches Pesachim. There's a rule in Hilchos Bedikas Chametz. A person can do all the Bedikas in the world, and there still may be something left. He may have missed that nice Kishmaka piece of Chametz stuck under the bed somewhere. What does the Gemara say in Maseches Pesachim? Davav, Haboidech Tzorech Sheyavatel. After a person finishes Bedikas Chametz, he then has to get up and say, just in case I didn't complete, I didn't do everything that was supposed to be done, between you and the Rabbanu Shem, I'm telling you that whatever's left is a loch totally. I have nothing to do with it. It may still be there. I may not have physically gotten rid of it. I may not have actually burnt it in the fire. But I'm telling you, Rabbanu Shem, Belev Shalem, those who learn Pesachim, first run, it's a bit of Belev Shalem, Belev Shalem B'chol Levavcha, it's after the hours, and Mamash has nothing to do with me. I don't care about it, I have nothing to do with it anymore. That's after Bedika. Because the Bedika's been done. He's put hours and hours of Bedika, and you never know whether you cleaned out entirely, and the Lacha requires a Bodhi Tzav Shabbat. Rabbi said the same is true for the Bedika of these days. A person has to do the Bedika, on the Evarim, Evarim Mechitzayim, Evarim Apnimim, and everything we spoke about. And then, when it's all over, the person has to take that attitude of Avodah Tzorech Sheyavato. Avodah Tzorech Sheyavato means that a person's relationship to Chet at this time has to be, it's Ka'afra Di'ara. It's Mamish nothing. It's a low echpatli. I have nothing to do with it anymore. Don't talk to me about it. The Rambam uses this very similar lashon of chaschuva. Rambam writes that a person is chayzi b'tshuva. The chayt is so, he's besiach das from it. He doesn't want to hear about it anymore. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore. Sometimes you see people, they love to talk about the things they did. I wouldn't do it anymore. You know, I'm sorry. You hear a guy sitting around, I would never think of doing that X, Y, and Z anymore. But let me tell you about how geschmack it was when I did it. That's a problem, says the Rambam. That's not tshuva. That's a quasi tshuva. That's not tshuva gemura. Tshuva gemura means that if I look back and I say it wasn't me, b'chlam. Namasli. That's a bodhi tzorech sheyavato. So bedika, as great as it is, and as intense as it is, and as powerful as it is, it's still not enough. A bodhi tzorech sheyavato. Comes the Ramban. In the beginning of Masechus Pesachim, I know it's not before Pesach, but we just started learning Pesach in the Yeshiva, so that's what's on my mind. Bedikas Chametz and Bitul Chametz, so I use the Mishalim when they come. Comes the Ramban and says, you know, if you look at the sugya of Bitul Chametz is a very hard sugya to understand. Because, what do you mean you're Mavata the Chametz? What are you doing? You're being Mavke the Chametz? You don't say Hefke, that's what Tosfos says. So you're being Mavatlet, whoever heard of Bitul, after the hour, it's not after the hour. What do you mean it's after the year? It's a joke. It's not really, no such thing as a hocus pocus, this water is after the hour. So that's a meaningless statement in Halacha. So what do you mean the bread is like after the hour? So
Zakhti Ramban, you take a look at the Chetish Ramban in the beginning of Masachas Pesachim. The Ramban was not giving you Musa Shavuz with the statement. He was not speaking of Rosh Hashanah. If the Ramban wanted to speak of Rosh Hashanah, he knew how to speak of Rosh Hashanah. He wrote a drush of Rosh Hashanah that's about 6 hours long to say. And that was the drush that he said in Shul on Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban knew how to give Musa, but he wasn't even writing a Sefer Musa. He was writing a Sefer Halacha, but you see the Ramban's, his whole personality came out in this line. The Ramban says, what is this lumdish thing called Bittul Chametz? I finished all the bedikas already, now I'm doing Bittul Chametz. Up to Ramban. Chametz is also anyway. Chametz is also by no. It doesn't exist anyway for practical purposes. So I don't think if it doesn't exist, what do I have to be vatla for? Says Rabbi, you know what the mitzvah of Bittul Chametz is? Bittul Chametz is to be maskim daitcha l'da'as ha-Torah. All HaKadosh Baruch wants to do in our face is to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, ditto. I agree to you. You said the Chametz is also bano. I've been maskim. I agree. That's the mitzvah of Bittul Chametz. That's the avodas Hashem of Erev Pesach, to be maskim daitcha l'da'as ha-Torah. That a person's wishes and a person's thoughts and a person's desires have become so one with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, as the Mishnah Perkei Avos says, "Bata Ritzon Chabne Ritzonai." If the Ribbono Shel Olam says it's after the Ara, so be it. That's Bittul Chametz, and that's the Rambam's Tshuva as well. That's what Tshuva means. Also, Tshuva means Habodik, and I search and I go through the past and I make corrections, and when it's all done, I make the following statement. I'm a vatel, all the chatoim and all the avinas, all the pshayim, it's botel ke afro da ara. Mamish. Maybe that's what the mini cape threw a bread to tashna. Some people took the drush too far. Ke afro da ara. It's botel mavutel. Why? Why is it botel mavutel? Because that's the dasa toira. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu said chatoim is chametz. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu said stay away. Mask and daitel dasa toira. So far, that's 40 minutes, we've been focusing on the Sur Meraz, and looking for Chatoim, searching in our own neshamas, different degrees of Chatoim. Even after we finish the checking, our work is still not over yet. Habadi Tzorshi Yavatel, all that comes about, because Chayin is stuck in, all negative, very, very negative, very, very negative, but looking away, getting rid of him. But that's not where it ends. That's just the beginning. That just sets the stage for what we're really supposed to be accomplishing in the Yom Kippur. This is all supposed to be getting done in the next 4 days. Because when by the time Rosh Hashanah comes, we have a whole new game plan. We have something brand new. We have to start off with this Hashem. We've got to bring a carbon. So the carbon's got to be kosher. So we got the work that's got to be done now. This can't wait till Esmei Tshuva. It's got to be done now. Come to Rosh Hashanah. It's Vasisa Moila. Come, Chazal, and say, coming in the Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim, Kulach Yafara Yasi Umum Einbach. Today's Daf Yomi. Tomorrow's Daf Yomi. Those did it tonight. It's tonight's Daf Yomi. Go in tomorrow. Kulach Yafara Yasi Umum Einbach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael in Shir HaShirim and says to Klal Yisrael, there's no mum in you. You're not a mum. You have no mum at all. No mum. Where'd all the mum go from? Where did it all disappear from? Come Chazal and say, Vishas Amidasa and Bahar Sinai, you're the Kol HaMumin. Rashi quotes in Chumash, Klal Yisrael stood at Bahar Sinai, all those who were blind were healed, and those who couldn't hear were given the power of hearing. All the Bali Mumin were all healed. Not just the physical Bali Mumin, but the spiritual Bali Mumin as well. Umum Einbach. What had the ability to heal the Mumin? What has the ability to clear the slate? What has the ability? The Nasav Nishma, the Kabbalah Satoira. A person dedicates himself, stands at our Sinai, and says, B'lev Sholem Nasav Nishma, and actually does it. So, Kadosh Baruch was made it kulach yafara yasiyu mumein bach. Whatever happened, happens, gone, done. It's much easier this way. The mumen are removed in one split second. Come to our Sinai, it's done, finished. We spend 40 minutes talking about Azam, Mumin, you gotta check with the flashlights under the beds, Mumin with this, Tikas Chorin is stuck there. Comes the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I got an easier way. One shot, in and out. Very simple, just come to our Sinai. Kulach Yafarai Si Mumin Bach. Come Chazal and say, that's what happened, Bishas Amidosa Bahar Sinai. But, unfortunately, it's Arenu, even that was offset. How is that offset? The Shah Shaosla Sa'egel, when Klaus over Chayte, they made the Egel. You know what happened? Loch and Vey, we're back to where we started from. That Pasuk was taken away from us, Kulach Resi, Mumin Bach. Klaus became once again Bali Mumin, and we were back to where we started from, back to square one. That's not the end of the story. The good news is that there was an end of the Egel as well. There was a Tikkun for the Chayte Egel. And what was that tikkun? Came Yom HaKippurim, came Luchashnias, came the Bechil, Aslich, the Kapara, and Klaisel went back to where they were, of Nasav and Ishma. And presumably, once again, Kulach Yafarai Yisim Mumen Bach. Rabbi Yisai, what was happening to Klal Yisrael in that first year after they left Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satayra, they were elevated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed all the Mumen, the light of the Torah Kedosha, the Limud HaTorah, and the Shmiras HaMitzvahs, was the medication, was the cure, was the end-all cure for all the mumin of the past, all the spiritual blemishes of the past were gone. Faisal reached the Darga at Maimon Har Sinai. The Darga was lost at the Chet Egel. It was recaptured again at Lucha Shnios. It's that cycle of Aliyah, Yerida, and then Aliyah once again, what we replay year in and year out. Those are the Yom Tovim. Those are the Yom Tovim. That's the cycle of Yom Tovim. Every year, for over 3,000 years, Klal Yisrael has been reliving the ups and downs of those 6 months of their existence, from the first Pesach to the first Sukkis. It was the Pesach that left Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satayra, Mumen Bach. Klal Yisrael reached levels unheard of before, and then Chet crept in. Tshuva, 40 hard days, Tfilas of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Hashem Karacham Achanuns, things that sound very familiar to us in the next couple of moments. There was tshuva, there was a bit of introspection, there was Bikur Mumin, there was a new Kabbalah Satoira, and wow, Klal Yisrael come at the end of Yom HaKippurim, Yom Hashem Salachtik Tverech, and once again, this is the cycle that we're in. So we've been in this together for the last couple of months. We started out here Pesach not that long ago. We left Mitzrayim together. We celebrated Shavuos together. Wasn't that long ago. I was standing from the same place. And each and every one of us, those who were with us, there was another shuls, wherever you are, the Yontav, Zmaman, Taraseinu, Kadosh Baruch was made just as he was, Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, he was made on us. Mumen Bach, Kabbalah Satara cleared us of Mumen. It's been a long summer. It's been a few months since Chodesh Sivan. Sometimes things crop up. Hopefully not too many eagles. Problems crop up. Things happen along the way. And we find ourselves now at the very end of Chodesh Elul. We find ourselves getting ready to cross Yom Kippurim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the spirit of Achana. Rosh Hashanah is the Achana for Yom Kippur, and the Slichas are the Achana for Rosh Hashanah. It's a lot of Achana because we've got a lot of work to do. So we have two goals. To sum up, Shnayim Shem Echad. They're both two goals which are basically one and the same. The goal is to get the Vasisa B'Allah. To be able to bring a Korban Sholem, B'Li Mum, a Korban Tamim, to the Rebbein Shalom, and the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah B'Alein L'Toyva. But we have to clear out the Mumin. So the Mumin can be cleared out in one of two ways, and really a combination of both. The process of Bikur, and the process of Bidikur, and the process of Bittul, and the introspection, and all the different types and gradations of Mumin that we spoke about. That's the first thing. And the second thing is the reconnecting to what we just screamed out not that long ago, Nasav and Nishma and Shavuos, reconnecting to Matan Torah, reconnecting to Limud HaTorah, which is the greatest Matayar, the greatest Bekadosh of all, are reconnecting back to So that Zman Matan Torah Seinu, when HaKadosh Baruch was made in us, Umumen Bach, as we approach the days of the Lucha Shnios, as we recommit ourselves to the Torah Kedosha, that's the celebration. Those are the days, the next couple of days and weeks ahead of us. And what's the final, the grand finale of all this? On a very positive note. The grand finale is a great simcha that we all know is just around the bend, just around the corner. You have to work for it. You have a lot of work over the next 2 weeks, but the simcha's around the corner. We know it's there. Keith Benedi B'Sukkot B'Yomro. We know the Yom of Sukkot is around the corner. What's the gevaldik simcha, the celebration of Sukkot? So Chazal tell us, what do you do on Sukkot? First day of Sukkot, you take the Avraminim. Each one of the minim corresponds to a different aver of the person. The avarim that we worked on, that we sweated with, that we were misakin, that we looked and we searched and we corrected during these hard days of slichos. We take a beautiful new avarim, the beautiful aver of the heart, the esrog that's shaped like the heart. It's the lev chadosh. It's a lev tar. It's a new transplanted, fresh, brand new heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given us. It's not the lave of decay and the lave of cholesterol and blocked arteries. It's a brand new, fresh heart ready to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Together with our Einayim, those eyes, the eyes of the Hadassim, the eyes that we had to work on, the eyes that we have to be misaken, the eyes that we have to be careful with. The Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us that Tziyat Deshmaya. Use those eyes and Avodas Hashem once again. The mouth, we spoke about before, the mouth that sometimes needs a little bit of dental work and sometimes needs a whole turnaround and a complete upheaval. So we got a new mouth. What's a Yom Kippur? The Aravas. And the whole spine, the whole spinal cord, the Shedra, the Lulav, top of the spine, there's the Mayach. It's all fresh and it's all brand new. And should it surprise us that when it comes to Dalad Minim, the halach is ma'apin on one thing, everything's got to be beautiful. Because a mum is not beautiful. A mum is not hadar. The Dalad Minim have to be hadar, because a Jew on the first day of Sukkot says hadar muhudar. But he's only hadar muhudar if he checked the mumin in the days before. So the goal is to get a sisim oila. The goal is to get l'kachtav machem b'yem erishon, to come to the Rebbeinu Shalom in a short 3 weeks from now. To come to the Rebbeinu Shalom less than that, holding a lulav and esrog hadassim aravos ivari haguf with beauty, free of mumin, free of decay, and free of problems. So hopefully, to get to that, you got to do the work. But the work is well worth it. To be kamei mumin, the recommitment to the sounds of Matan Torah, and hopefully this chus of these two tikkunim that we make will be zoicha to lekachtem lachem yom harishon. We'll be able to take our entire new bodies and new souls and neshamas, mehudorim shebetachas ahidur, to be able to present them to the Ribbono shel Olam on the first day of Sukkot.